Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Nothing friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Now, if you're here joining us for the first time, where have you been? We've been here 12 years, three Communicator Awards later, and a Telly Award later. We are just doing our thing here on Max and Friends. Listen, tweet me at Max Tucci, Instagram me at Max Tucci, and we've started a new Instagram for at Max Tucci Radio. So there you can join us and be part of the show and have fun and just let me know what's going on in your life. You know, I love to hear it and I love to communicate with you all, hence why I won a Communicator Award. Well, listen, tonight we're going to talk about the power of theater. Last week, we talked about the power of music. The week before, the power of healing. So this is all just going to be like a super powerful show because there really is power to theater. I love the arts. I love supporting the arts. I love the theater. I love supporting the theater. You know, I'm on the board at the Lehman Center for the Performing Arts in the Bronx. And theaters are suffering right now. And actors are suffering as well. And producers and directors and staff and ushers and everyone that makes the theater work is going through it like we all are right now. So there's only one way to really highlight the power of theater, and that's to bring on people who are in the industry and know. Ronnie Larson will be here in just a moment. And of course, the one and only Jennifer McLean will be here. And we're going to talk about the theater, the importance of going to the theater in a time like this in COVID, and just bringing our love of the arts and the supporting of the arts onto the surface tonight. This is a live show. You know, I do some pre-records, but my guest, Ronnie Larson, was a pain in the ass tonight and was like, I'm in rehearsal. I'm like, okay, but when Oprah calls, you kind of get out of rehearsal and go on with the show. So with that said, welcome to the show, my friend. We have the same birthday. I'm 10 years younger. I like to say that. Ronnie Larson, welcome to the show, Truck Tough Sally.
Hola, Oprah. Good to be on your show.
Hey, Gail, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. You know, Ronnie, I'm so grateful that you're here. This has been a long time coming. So I'm grateful that you're here because there is so much to you and there is so much about you. And, you know, I adore you and everything you do at the theater here in South Florida. But before we get into that, Ronnie Larson is an actor, director, playwright, producer whose work has been seen in most major cities in America. He wrote his first play in 1994 and his first musical in 2018. 24 of his shows have been produced, 5 off-Broadway in New York City. His plays have been seen in Canada, Australia, Italy, and he's had 5 different productions in London. He's also made a documentary that had theatrical runs at the Castro Theater in San Francisco, Cinema Village in New York City, and
the Lemley Five. It was like the that's big art house.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yes, 5 in Los Angeles, of course, as well as showings at numerous film festivals and so on and so forth. Da, da, da. You now are here and living in South Florida. I could because I want you to tell us your story. Tell us the genesis of Ronnie Larson, because coming up, we have one of your acts, Jennifer McLean, is going to be here too. But Ronnie, right now, tell us about the genesis of Ronnie Larson, born on February 14th, 1869.
Oh my God. Well, okay, I talk too much, so I'll try to be very succinct. But I wanted to be a Shakespearean actor. I went to school for that, and I was doing Shakespeare in San Francisco, and nobody was, you know, I wasn't making any money, and nobody was coming, and the critics were not interested. And then somebody said, you should write a play about your sex life. So I did, and it was a big hit, and I finally made my first money in the theater. So then I met a porn star, and I wrote a play about the porn industry that was a bigger hit, and then my life changed, and I just started writing sex plays. And then my plays were being produced in Florida, and I never came out here, and I didn't really know there was such a gay audience here, but people were telling me, oh, people like your plays here. You should come out and do a play. So I came out, did a play. It went really well, and my husband, meanwhile, I had met a man without a green card, so I was living in Mexico, so I didn't want to be doing theater because I didn't want to keep leaving him. But when he got his green card, I was like, where should we go now? We have to go to the States and live in the States. Where should we go? And I said, well, they like my place in Florida. Why don't we go there and go for a year and see how it works? And it's just really worked out. So now I'm here doing plays in Florida. So that's the Cliff Notes version. So
do you regret leaving Mexico?
I don't regret leaving Mexico, but I will tell you that there's a lot of things, you know, not to get too political too fast, but this country is really into this idea that we're the greatest country in the world. And there's a lot of great things here, but there's a lot of things to learn from Mexico. And there's a lot of things I miss about Mexico. And Mexico is a great country, and I miss it. I miss it every day. I really, really miss it. There's a lot of things about it that are just fabulous. So,
well, one thing I miss,
it gets a horrible reputation. People say horrible things about Mexico in this country, and it's really horrible. It's a wonderful place.
It is a wonderful place. And one thing I miss, too, is you, Ronnie Larson. And I miss going to the theater, and I miss seeing your plays, and I miss the Max Tucci box at the theater.
That's right. The Max Tucci box. You know, I was a Max Tucci fan before I was a Max Tucci friend. You know that.
That is true. And I was a Ronnie Larson fan before I was a Ronnie Larson friend.
That's true. When you used to come to the theater, I felt like you were like a celebrity because – it was weird. You always showed up with five different people, but they were never the same people. So it was like you were this like celebrity with this huge entourage. And I thought, how
and they were all gorgeous, right?
How can I join the entourage? They were all gorgeous. But I don't think anyone liked the theater except you, because none of them ever came back. You always bring new people.
No, because you know why? I want to bring more people because I want to introduce more people to this wonderful, I always call it, it's like the hole in the wall theater. And I love it for that, because from the outside, you don't know what it is. And when you get into the inside, you're like, shit, there's some really, really great performances in here. You know?
Thank you.
And
and I really like what the space has become. Yes.
You know, and what's interesting, I mean, well, you know, you said you were a fan before a friend, and now you like show up at my house and like rub your feet on my like my coffee table thinking it's a thumb of stone. But
what is that?
You know, tell us, Ronnie Larson, about the power of theater and what that means to you.
Well, I'm gonna say something I've never said publicly before because it sounds so pretentious, and I hate pretentious artists.
I'm Max and Friends.
I never even call myself an artist, you know. But I always in my life, I always denigrate what I do. And I always say, oh, it's just this, or oh, it's silly, oh, it's this, oh, you know, it's not important. Like if you're a coal miner, that's like important work. You know, if you work in a gas station, I say, you know, any theater is just whatever. It's just performing. It's no big. I always denigrated it, even though I've been my life doing it. But I realized during the pandemic, I realized it is the most vital thing, because what's kept us all alive is storytelling, Netflix, and, you know, movies and books. That's what's kept us alive during this horrible time. Imagine going through this pandemic and not having any storytelling in your life. What would no books, no movies, what would you do? What would people do all day? They'd be stuck in their houses. And I realized that is almost the most important thing, our stories. What else do we have if we're not communicating? And I want to tell you this. I've watched a lot of stuff on video of Zoom, and it's like whatever. But when you're in the room with another person and they're doing something live, it is so powerful. And I think that I forgot that. I took it for granted. And now I don't. Now I'm like, no, the theater is important, and people should be there, and no matter what,
it's essential.
It is essential, and I really believe that. When Jennifer McLean, I'm doing a show with this wonderful artist, Jennifer McLean, right now, and when she was singing the first night in rehearsal, I started bawling. Now, I've watched, not Jennifer, I haven't seen her, but I've watched a lot of art on Zoom that didn't really speak to me because I need to be in the room, but there's something so powerful in the room with the other person. You're watching them do it live.
Well, there's energy.
I really missed it.
It's total energy.
And Jennifer really bears her soul in the show. She really takes you through her life and that connection. And I realize I need to be in the room with other people under the same roof, all having the same experience. And the other thing I want to say about theater really quick is it forces you to concentrate. No other art form does that. You know, you can wander to a museum or you can
watch because it makes you turn your phone off. It makes you turn your phone off.
And you have to sit up straight. You can't be on your couch eating, you know. You have to sit there, focus. You have to listen. It forces you to connect. And it's so powerful. And so this idea that, oh, we just want to have theater for a couple of years while we figure out this. But no. I'm going to do plays if I have two people in the audience. I'm going to keep moving forward. That's my vow.
Well, you know, Ronnie, I don't know if we spoke, we've spoken a lot during this whole pandemic, but one thing, you know, I just, since I'm on the board at the Lehman Center of the Performing Arts, you know, there's a president at the college there, and he was like saying that they're not, that he doesn't want to open the theater until there's a vaccine found. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we can't even play with that. That's like playing with fire. And the theater will completely close because we're not getting funding. We're not making money. We're not making ticket sales. You know, so it's like, no, we need theater. We need to be cautious. We need risk management. And you figured it out. So tell us how you figured out to turn the theater, well, which is 50 seats into it.
Can I just comment? Can I just comment on one thing you're saying? I think it's really uncreative of these people, these Broadway theaters. They could easily put 200 people in there, have a one-person, Bruce Springsteen's their one-person show. You could easily have artists getting on Broadway stages every night, performing, just doing concerts, one person. It doesn't have to be like all this union and all this stuff. Just like get back to the basics of what art is. You know, just a person on stage telling a story. There's no reason that these theaters have to be sitting empty for the next year. It's all about unions and money, but they should just open the doors and say, you know what? We're going to charge $20. We're going to have 200 people in here, and we're going to have somebody that's going to, you know, tell our life story for an hour. We're going to have storytelling. Yeah. There's no reason we can't have that.
But true.
Theaters,
and you know,
these big corporate theaters don't want to do that.
They don't. But you know what? It's 11:11 here on the East Coast. And so that means make a wish. So for all of you tuning in right now, I'm your host, Max Tucci, listening to Max and Friends. My guest is Ronnie Larson, and it is 11:11 here. So do make a wish. And my wish is that we could like just end this war of insanity right now. And so, Ronnie, you know, speaking of this war, all wars end. So until then, we need to be entertained. And you figured it out. How did you turn the theater? Because you remember we had a phone conversation like in March. We're like, we need to do drive-in movie theaters or drive-in theaters. And we need to do stuff. We need to, you know, figure this out. And now you're in, you know, the cases in Florida are 15,000 today or something like
the
that.
Worst.
You're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to have theater and we're going to be safe. And there's a risk management involved. Tell us about the theater. Walk through the experience so that for people who are in South Florida and need that entertainment and they want to see Jennifer McLean, who's going to be here in just a moment. How does the theater operate now, Ronnie Larson?
We had 20 people. We have a 55 seat theater. It's a very small theater, but we have 55 seats and we packed them in there. What we did this time is we're supposed to go to 50% capacity. We did even less. We did 20 seats, and we spread them out. We measured all 6 feet, and we put really cute plants like trees in between the spaces. It's not just this dead space. And the other thing we did is we installed touchless water faucets, touchless hand sanitizing machines, touchless soap dispensers, and touchless paper towels. And we open the door an hour before. So when you arrive at the theater, you don't even have to touch a doorknob to go in. You just come in. We take your temperature. We have free masks available. Everyone has to wear a mask except the performer. It's only a one-person show. She never gets closer than 6 to 8 feet from the audience. The audience doesn't clog up in the lobby waiting for the show to start. The doors are open the minute they arrive. We do the show, and then we say, please, you have to exit the theater. You can't mull around and talk and hang out and socialize. And a lot of people last night, not a lot, but the people that were there told me they felt really, really safe. They said, this is my first activity going out of the house because I've been really afraid. Mm. And I felt so safe because everybody was sitting far apart. You know, the performer wasn't like on top of me. It was just, so I think.
And your plays are known for that.
my plays have a lot of physical, it's been hard to. That's why I'm so grateful to Jennifer, because I don't know what I would have produced, because my shows are very touchy-feely, obviously. There's a lot of people. My last show had 15 actors, and you can't do that. You can't be doing 15 actors right now.
All right, so listen, because Jennifer's laughing in the background, and I got to bring her on. But before we bring her on, Ronnie, how are
you more interesting than I am? Bring her on.
Well, but here's the reality. You have the theater, and we need to know, if for those who are not comfortable for leaving now, and they want to make, you know, donations to the theater, and they want to support the arts, how can people support you and the theater right now in South Florida? And what do you recommend?
Ronnie Larson. They can go to ronnielarson.com, LARSEN, ronnielarson.com, and there's a donate button on the homepage. And they can also watch a video I made on the homepage of everything we did at the theater. It's like a walkthrough of the whole theater. They can see how we made it all very safe and sterile and clean and all that. So they should go to ronnielarson.com.
Why is it important for people to support the arts and donate right now? Coming from you, I mean, you eat, breathe, and live this.
I mean, I hate to say this, but our landlord, he wants his rent. I mean, if I don't generate some money, this theater will not exist in 6 months. You know, we are not getting, look, this is very political, but our government has really screwed up. You know, they should be freezing rent payments. They should be freezing mortgages. They're not. So, you know, it's a trickle down effect. And our landlord is not, he's not giving us free rent. He's not letting us sit for a year. So we have to pay the bills. And if I don't do something, I can't open the theater with a $50,000 deficit in a year. I have to like generate some money, even if it's only a few thousand dollars. So yes, this is something that's going to go away. If people don't support it, it's literally going to go away. You know, there won't be another, the theater will go away, which would be horrible.
And that's why, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you here tonight, because let's just daydream for a minute. And let's say if we were going to do a sister act sing-a-thon, like how much would you need for the theater to like really operate?
Well, our rent is $4,000 a month. But that doesn't include like electricity. That doesn't include paying performers. You know, that doesn't include anything like that. So, but if we had $20,000, that would give us 5 months of rent that we wouldn't have to worry about. You know, that would just would just cover. But what if we aren't back to normal until next February? I mean, my God, that's like seven.
Well, then on the 14th, we'll have a huge party in the parking lot because you've been locked out of the theater.
That's right. I'm going to have to start doing I thought about doing shows in the parking lot. Exactly.
You're known for doing shows in the parking lot as Truck Stop Sally, but we're not talking
those
about
those. Those are the old days.
Oh, I'm sure. Those were the old days yesterday. Now you're an artist with a glory hole mask. Oh, sure. You're so elegant,
Max,
Ronnie.
You bring up a really good point. Like, what would nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. It's a scary time. So I'm trying to save the theater.
But money's a
Jennifer McClain has generously offered to help save the theater, and I'm so grateful.
Okay, so how did you meet Jennifer McClain? Because I've seen you as Jennifer McClain, but how did you actually meet
Jennifer McClain? I was
tried to be.
Jennifer McClain is the only true legend in South Florida. Everybody she goes to, like everybody knows her. She's like she comes to shows and it's like she's royalty. She, you know, everybody knows her. And I don't know how I first met her. I just knew that she was like the big deal in town. Like everybody kind of worships her and knows her, and she has a huge following. So for the last year, she comes to my shows, and I've seen her perform at bars and restaurants where she has like appearances. So I'm just a fan, and I was going to write this musical for six women, and she was going to be in it, and I was so excited. But obviously, we can't be doing that. So it's weird. Jennifer and I kind of reached out to each other at the same time, kind of like on the same path. Because Jennifer, you know, she's another one. She's a performer. She needs to perform. She can't sit home and just watch TV all day. So we kind of reached out to each other, and it would just work that we're going to do the show. So,
you know, that's how it works. What you're looking for is looking for you. So originally from Buffalo, New York, Jennifer McClain has been entertaining South Florida audiences for over 15 years in venues ranging from small bars to large nightclubs and charity events. She's appeared on CNN performing in Key West for New Year's Eve, and she has also performed in New York City, Puerto Vallarta, Cancun, and on the high seas. With a vast rapport at fingertips, she can easily slip from a sultry torch song to a high-energy pop anthem and then into a comic Broadway number. I love that. This sounds like my mind on a daily basis. A favorite in South Florida scene, she was awarded a Bestie for Best Live Entertainer 2013 and Best Local Celebrity and Best Artist Musician from SFGN. And Ronnie, you're part of the SFGN family too. You were on the cover. But we're not talking about you anymore because we're talking about Jennifer McClain. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Wow, I've never had my bio read quite so theatrically before. I kind of like it. Can you just come around with me all the time now?
You know what? We can take the show because it's going to go into archive, and we can take that clip and play it before everything.
I love it. Yes. Yes, please.
Welcome to the show, Jennifer McClain.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
My pleasure. You know, let's talk about the genesis of Jennifer McClain, Buffalo, New York, and now it's like you're in Florida. And like Ronnie said, you've created a life for yourself and a career for yourself here. And how has it been during this pandemic?
Challenging is the word I would use. Although not quite as lonely as I would have expected. From the day one, I did my last show in person on March 15th was my last show in person. And the very next day I went online and went live on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I started doing it then, and it's you know, it was 16 or 17 weeks of just going live on Facebook. But it fed my narcissism a little bit.
And that's because, why we're all in this business. Hello.
this is the truth. This is really like the raw truth. I would do a live show singing to my iPad and reading the comments as they came up, but basically staring at my reflection.
You know, that sounds like an album for like a Dolly Parton album, Staring at My Reflection, Dolly Parton.
Yeah. So, and somehow the banter almost, I mean, it's definitely not the same, but it translated far better than I would ever have guessed.
Yeah.
For what I do, but it wasn't live, you know, and it wasn't that energy.
The energy is the most important thing, you know. It's all in that, you know, every action has a reaction. And that's why I love going to live theater, because like I can have a shitty day and all of a sudden I'm being entertained and it raises the frequency in my brain. Like all the crystals in my head are activated.
For sure.
You know, so how did you first get into theater? Because was it always something you wanted to do?
Well, that's what the whole show is about.
That's why I went there.
But, I went to school for musical theater, and I started performing in high school, went to college for musical theater, and I've always had really supportive parents. So, you know, they said, well, are you sure that's what you want to do? And I said, yeah. And they said, okay.
So what is, like, I throw the question to Ronnie, the question to you, what is the power of theater and what does that mean to you?
Oh, okay. Now it's my turn to answer that. Okay. gosh, it really is. It is a connection. It is, theater can bring people together that have absolutely nothing in common. Mm. Theater can bring people because of a shared experience. You could be sitting in the same room with somebody that you literally have diametrically opposing views. You have absolutely nothing in common, but you are sharing this moment.
Mm. Mm. You are sharing that. I love sharing that moment. And that's why I love the theater, because you do, you share that moment. So we're going to play some of your songs here. I'm your host, Max Succi from Max and Friends. If you're tuning in right now, my guests tonight are Ronnie Larson and Jennifer McLean. We're talking about the power of theater and why supporting local theater during a time like right now is so important for not only for the theater and the industry, but also for our well-being and for our essential needs. It's like a haircut. When you have shitty, long, straggly hair, you want it cut. And when you're bored, you want to be entertained. And that's what the theater does. So Ronnie Larson has figured it out. Jennifer McLean is doing this wonderful performance at the Foundry in Fort Lauderdale, Wilmington Manors area. But let's talk about your song, I'm a Woman, because I remember when Ronnie threw on a wig and said he was Jennifer McLean, I was really confused. And so to dedicate that song to Ronnie tonight, I'm a Woman. But set it up, Jennifer McLean.
I'll just say this. Ronnie said to me, hey, I'm bringing this show down here called Steamworks. And there's a character in the show, and her name is something something. I forget what he said it was. He said, I'd like to change the name and use your name. Is that okay? And I said, sure. And then a video came out of the cast, and there was a girl, and she said, I'm Jennifer McLean. And I said,
bitch.
You said, can I use your name? Not that the name would be applied to an actual person in the show.
Oh my God.
And then one thing led to another, and for whatever reason, the girl couldn't continue, and Ronnie stepped in. And honestly, it was the highest flattery camp. people were mad for me. They would come up to me and say, oh, I'm so sorry that he's doing that. I was like, are you kidding me? It's hilarious.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, Jennifer McLean, I was there the night that Ronnie busted his ass on stage. And and he was doing his thing. But, you know, I have to tell you, because I think, Ronnie, you're going to be called out on this bullshit, because you did that to me, too. You didn't even ask me if you could use my name. All of a sudden, they're like, one of the cast members was like, yeah, I was just in Europe with Max Tucci. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And yes. You know, Ronnie, I love to smoke weed. And you know that I always come to the theater like completely like smoking my, you know, my weed. And so it always, it's like, you know, even more intense when I'm like, what is going on? Why did they just say my name? And how come I wasn't in Europe with that young, hot actor?
Too funny.
So how did you write I'm a Woman?
No. This is, I recorded this a while ago. This is the old Peggy Lee song.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, because at this point, who even knows anymore? I'm a Woman. Ronnie, how did it feel to play the one and only Jennifer McCain?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm not just saying this because she's on the phone. I did not play Jennifer McClay. I really did not study her. I just put a blonde wig on and, you know, and I just acted crazy. It wasn't really a fair portrait. I didn't play Jennifer McClain. I played like a cartoon version of Jennifer McClain. So she's, you know, I couldn't sing. I acted like, you know, I sang really badly in the show and she's a beautiful singer. You know, like I did my makeup really, really bad and she has gorgeous makeup. So it wasn't like an impersonation. It was more like, Jennifer McClain's like really, really bad stepsister or something. Like, you know, like her long lost cousin that she, you know, it's
so
it was really
basically
Jennifer.
It was your alter ego Truck Stop Sally wanting to be Jennifer McClain. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's why I felt so guilty about it, because it really didn't do her any. It was not.
No, it was Truck Stop.
Said, oh my God, it's Jennifer McClain.
It's Jennifer McClain. No, but yeah. When you busted your ass, that was funny. But you know,
it was.
But
the best night
was
when Jennifer came and she was laughing during the show, and I was like, oh, thank God.
It's like,
oh,
well, thank God.
I couldn't stop laughing, and people were like looking at me like, is she mad? And I was howling. I thought it was every time he walked out, I was dying. I thought it was hysterical.
The other thing about Jennifer is an amazing supporter of the arts. She goes to everything in town. She posts on Facebook, oh my God, the show is amazing. She laughs louder than everybody. You know, it's not just that she's a local celebrity, but she really brings the community together. She really is a huge supporter of the arts. So I just want to point that out.
Thank you. Well, you know what? We're going to play right here. I'm a Woman, Jennifer McClain, covering the song. We're dedicating to Ronnie Larson, a.k.a. Truck Stop Sally. And for all of you who just feel like you're in a shitty mood right now, you know what? Throw on a wig and become a woman. I'm a Woman here on Max and Friends. We'll be right back with Ronnie Larson and Jennifer McClain. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends.
And hang out 45 pairs of socks and leave them hanging on the line. I can starch and iron 24 shirts before you can come from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the dripping's can. Throw it in the skillet, go into my shop and be back where it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. I can rub and scrub this whole house till it's shining like a dime. Feed the baby, grease the car, and powder my face at the same time. Get all dressed up, go on swing till 4 a.m. and then lay down at 5, jump up at 6, and start all over again. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. If you come to me sickly, you know I'm gonna make you well. If you come to me all hexed up, you know I'm gonna break the spell. If you come to me hungry, you know I'm gonna fill you full of grits. If it's loving you want, then I'll kiss you and give you the shivering fits. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. I got a $20 gold piece, says there ain't nothing I can't do. I can make a dress out of a feed bag and I can make a man out of you. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Woman, W-O-M-A-N. And that's all.
That's all.
That's all.
And that's all. I am a woman here on Max and Friends, and that is the one and only Jennifer McClain. I hear an echo in my ear. I don't know if you all hear that, but it might just be my inner voice saying. The next question to you, Jennifer, how do you find your source of creativity?
I wouldn't have said that I was that creative until recently. Cause you know, I sing covers. I don't sing original songs. So, you know, I interpret, but for this project, I actually wrote words, put pen to paper and wrote, well, not literally pen, but, I put finger to screen, and I'm not gonna lie, I swipe text on my phone a lot. I can't even say I typed. I swiped most of this script. And by that I mean SWYPE, not like I swiped it off of somebody else's desk. I mean everything comes from my personal experiences. When I interpret a song, even if it's not my song, and that's the interesting thing that some of my friends who've seen the show now, they said there's a reason that certain songs, when I sing them in my normal cabaret, is more like a piano bar, like request. I'll sing for 3 hours in a restaurant or a bar, and I'll take requests the entire time. So there's no plot line, there's no storyline, there's, you know, it could be a country song and then an 80s rock ballad and then a Broadway tune. You know, it really can go any which way. But there's certain songs that are requested all the time, and it's because I have a connection to the material for whatever reason, and the audience doesn't know why. They just know that they like the way that I do it. And this show gives them a little bit of the reasons why certain songs resonate with me.
So the show is This Is Me, A Night of Broadway and Biography, starring Jennifer McClain, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., running July 10th, which is past, to August 1st. So if you're in South Florida, for all of you who are jumping on JetBlue right now, flying down to sunny South Florida.
Come to the center. Stay for the cake.
Right, exactly. Stay for the cake. Oh,
I don't even know where that came from.
You know where it comes from? It comes up from being like, I think, caged in for these last 5 months. We've just become slap happy and, like, you know, in a whole nother. But if you're in South Florida and if you're healthy and you don't have a fever and you're not coughing and you're okay about going to the theater, go to the theater, because mm-hmm. Ronnie will anally take your temperature. And
that's correct. That's correct.
And it's a great show, because it's basically a journey through Jennifer McClain's life, and it's running through August 1st. You can go to ronnielarson.com for more information. And you know what? If the ticket, how much are the tickets? $20, you guys? I don't even know anymore.
$35.
So make a donation, round it up to 75 or 100, and just give back if you can. You know, yeah, at this point, like, we have not because we ask not. And the last thing I want to do is the theater. People still have money. You know, I was at Mercedes the other day, and they were like, we sold 300 and something cars this month. So people still have money. So donate it, give it, support the theater. You know, I see the cars out there, Rolls Royces and Ferraris. Y'all better be writing checks. Fuck this shit. We need money at the theater. Right. I'm bored
and
right
Max,
now. I was like, oh, my
you
God.
Gave the theater donation. You were very generous. You gave the theater donation. I want to point that out. You were very generous, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, you know, I know I'm your shitty landlord that asks for $4,000 a month, but in the end, Ronnie, I promise I won't evict you.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will be evicted.
Honey, and we will have a beautiful, grab the marshmallows and some hot dogs.
That's right. We'll get a new theater. We'll find a new theater.
Yeah, that's right. No, we're going to be fine. The reality is we will all be fine. And where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. But Ronnie, what is your source of creativity? Because you can literally sit down and you are like on the spectrum. You can write a play in like 45 minutes. I've never seen it before. It's amazing.
I do. I crank it out. I don't know, you know. Well, you know, my husband had a green card, so I gave up the theater for 6 years while I waited for the Supreme Court. And I think what happened was I got so constipated artistically that now I just like, it just flies out of me in a way it never did before. I mean, I always work fast, but not like, I just literally crank it out. Like, and I just think because I was deprived of it for so long. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I got back into it. And when I went into it, I'm like, oh my God. So I may dry up at some point, but I just, I think like,
what do you mean
I
at
just,
some like, point? I have,
well, Max,
well, let me ask you, Ronnie, what's the difference between running a sex club and a theater?
I'm going to tell you something. The only difference is there's no
wait,
rehearsal.
Are you eating on my show right now? I can't believe this. I thought you were like on a diet.
All day.
What are you eating, Ronnie Larson?
I made a chicken breast with some cauliflower rice and a bell pepper.
Okay. I'm very proud of you. And you told me you lost weight. So like, I'm super proud of you.
I lost 20 pounds. Yeah.
Because you know that you are like my Thelma to Louise. I am Burglar and you are fucking Ronald McDonald.
That's
and
we right. used to have, That's right.
we set up office at McDonald's. Remember our office,
no
Ronnie?
More, no, I'm returning the chicken McNugget sauce holder. I'm returning it to you because it's no
what was the best? Anymore. What was the best gift Max Tucci ever gave Ronnie Larson?
Max Tucci gave me, I didn't even know what it was. I opened up and I go, what is this?
Wait, Jennifer, you're going to love this because, you know, Ronnie has a big thing for chicken nuggets. I don't know if you knew that or not.
He does not anymore. I'm
you know,
done.
He's
I'm
like, he's on this, anymore. He's on the Oprah Weight Watcher kick right now. So I'm happy for
not
him.
Not anymore.
But so the Max old Ronnie gift. Would eat chicken nuggets.
No,
and it's what's
what
the gift?
Is, it's a tray. It's a miniature tray and it attaches to the vent, the air conditioning vent in your car. And it holds a chicken McNugget sauce.
That's so genius.
So when you're driving.
I would never order them in the drive-thru, but I couldn't eat them like that. That is so, I wish I had that.
Wayne, I have one delivered to you at the theater on Tuesday. No, Friday is when the theater is. I will have one delivered for you. Okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Jennifer. It's amazing. So,
and here's what's funny, Jennifer McLean. You're like, you know, Ronnie Larson, Jennifer McLean. You're very like, you have to say both names when you speak about you two. Jennifer McLean and Ronnie Larson are here. I'm your host, Max Tucci for Max and Friends. Thank you for tuning in. If you're just joining us, we're just having a shit show. The power of theater. We want you to support it. We need you to support it. And tune in, have fun, tweet me and Instagram me at Max Tucci. Speaking of Twitter and Instagram, Jennifer McLean, how can people find you?
I'm not good at Twitter. I've been trying and I just can't figure that out. But I'm on Instagram as the Jennifer McLean or the Jen McLean? The Jennifer McLean, T-H-E, okay. Jennifer McLean. And Facebook, Jennifer McLean. I've opened up my Facebook so that even though I'm at my maximum number of friends, people that follow me can still comment on my posts and still, you know, watch if I do a live stream or anything like that. So
your live streams are usually what, 8 o'clock at night?
I was doing them at anywhere from 7:30 or 8. What I tried to do for the last 4 months is stick to what my normal schedule would have been, which has kept me sane and also kept me vocally in shape. Because if I just stopped singing for 4 months, there's no way that I'd be able to pick up and do a 3-hour show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My mother's friend is an opera singer and she's, you know, supposed to be singing right now and wherever. And she's going through the same thing. Like she has to practice and use her voice.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see, what's going to happen. A lot of my friends on Broadway, you know, they're suffering and they're going through it. And it's, you know, the money that they make goes right into their living. You know, it's the people on Broadway don't make money. So,
I have a lot of friends in the same here. Yeah.
You know, and a bunch of my guys from Ain't Too Proud, you know, they're not working. New York Theater's not opening anytime soon. So don't think about just donating to the theater. You know, think about donating to your favorite artist. And here's what I suggest you do, because this is how I've done it. It's awkward to say, hey, do you need any money? Instead, like, find out, you know, your artist, your favorite Broadway star, and send them gift cards, $100. And let them figure out what they want to do with the money. But that's the way we figured it out. Or get them like a really good gift card from a restaurant or something where they don't have to buy food for that night. Because I promise you, their smiles on their face, there's a lot of pain in their heart because they're not working. So you must support the theater, but your favorite artists. So go on Instagram, find them, send them a message. Say, you know, I want to send you a gift card or something. And I promise you, that's how you can help artists get through this, because bills are still coming in. So
and a local restaurant gift card also helps the restaurant. And most artists at some point or another have been on that side of the serving, you know, the service industry.
That's the truth.
So Gotta keep those survival jobs available.
It's true. So Ronnie Larson, what do you have planned for the theater? Because you're doing some like shit show crazy shows, and that's what I love about you. So what are some of the other shows you're doing?
I'm working on a show right now. It's sort of a drama. It's called If I'm Good, and it's a two-person play, and it's about a Republican woman, a right-wing Republican woman who gets COVID, and a gay man, a wealthy gay man, in his late 50s, and one of them gets killed. What happens is the woman gets COVID, right, and she goes into the hospital. Meanwhile, my character, the rich, the gay man, is married to a brain surgeon. But they call him, but he's retired and they're living this wonderful life. They have three homes. It's wonderful. But they call him in to, they ask him if he can come help. But he's a brain surgeon. There's nothing to do. He has nothing to do for a COVID patient, but they just need help. So they're overwhelmed. So my husband goes there and I beg him not to go. I say, fuck, don't go. You're going to get COVID. You're 60 years old. So the woman comes to bring me these cookies to thank me for her husband, and I find out that she's this right-wing crazy Republican, and all hell breaks loose. So it's really about the war between this woman and this man, this gay man, and he's so angry at her because she got COVID like protesting at the state house saying, I want a haircut, one of those people. And so his husband died saving the life of this woman who's racist, she's homophobic, she's not painted as a villain. They both have their issues, but it's really about this rage that we all feel toward the other right now. So probably no one's gonna come see it, but I have to do small things. I can't do big cash shows, so I'm like two person play, and then I have another play, a one person show I've written about Melania Trump. And Donald has the COVID and he's in the hospital and he's in a coma, and Melania has to decide if she should pull the plug or not. And she lets the audience vote. And however the audience votes, they pull the plug on Donald Trump in the coma. And then somebody from the audience has to come up and actually pull the plug because Melania won't do it if they vote to pull the plug. So those are two shows I'm doing like right away.
Interactive theater with Ronnie Larson.
What, honey?
Clearly, I said interactive theater with Ronnie Larson.
Yeah. I'm COVID obsessed right now. It's all I can think about is COVID.
Well, you become obsessed. I know how you are. You get obsessed with me. You get obsessed with my coffee table and rubbing your feet on them. You're weird. But I love you.
I'm obsessed with Jennifer McClain right now. Exactly.
And everyone should be, because This Is Me is at the theater right now, ronnielarson.com. So Jennifer McClain, I don't know if you knew this, but Ronnie and I, like, you would be perfect for this. Like, you could be our Vanna White. So we're planning to do at the theater when things are back to, in the swing of things, vintage game show night.
Oh, okay.
Love Connection, The Gong Show, Let's Make a Deal, and The Dating Game. So, Ronnie, we have to still do that. Like, we can't give up hope and act like, like we have to just consciously create our future, because I think that's what's going to bring us through this all. And if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. So we've got to consciously create it, and it will manifest and it will happen. I'm a big believer in that. But let's stay focused on the arts. We've got a couple more minutes here. Ronnie, what do you want people to know about the theater? And Jennifer, the same question to you. What do you want people to know about the theater, about entertainers, and why it's important right now, like I had just said for so long about supporting. Ronnie, from your perspective, what is it?
Well, I think that a lot of people think that people are rich if you work in, if you're on stage and you have an audience every night and you have kind of a following, people just assume you're rich. Oh my God, I'm dying. And you're not.
If you die on my show, that would be amazing. The ratings would go through the roof.
He died on the show. But you know what I mean? Like, working in the theater is like a blue collar, it's a job. It's not like, you have to work, So if you can't perform, how are you ever going to, And I don't have skill. I don't have life skills that I can go. I can't go be a real estate agent. I'm 51. I have to work in the theater. Nothing else I can do. Jennifer's not going to become a waitress, So we have to work. I mean, that's the point. So it's really important that people do support artists, because what else are we going to do? We can't do it. We have no other options.
And Jennifer, from your perspective, why is it so important to support right now?
Because everybody needs an escape. Everybody needs something to take them out of their reality right now. Because the reality is, it's shitty.
Yeah.
It just is. It's just, the world is crap right now. And it's so important. And those of us that sing, that act, that dance, that tell stories, that write stories, that produce stories, we don't, like Ronnie said, we don't do it for the money. We do it because we have to.
Yeah.
If it isn't because of passion, then it wouldn't matter what I did. I've right. worked in a bank. That yeah. was not fun, you know. No. But I did it
for you. For you, it wasn't fun. For others, it could
yeah.
be.
Well, yeah. No. But that's it. Yeah. I mean, I like to count money. It would be great if it was mine. But if it's not mine, at least some money, somebody's money.
You know, speaking of money, there's rumor that you were on someone's show and you like totally confessed that you have like this kick-ass apartment for like you got for a total steal. We got our eye on Jennifer McClain.
here's the real truth of it. Like I said, my parents are very supportive. About 10 years ago, they said, "Okay, you're definitely not doing anything but this for the rest of your life. You really need to have something secure. So let us help you buy your own place." And it was right when everything, like the bottom of the real estate market had fallen out. Mm-hmm. So I got this really nice 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo on a foreclosure for $52,000.
You see, Ronnie, oh, wow. It's possible in South Florida.
Oh, wow.
Well, it was possible 10 years ago. I don't know if it is now.
Well, listen, it's going to be possible again. You know, whenever there's crisis, there's opportunity. So we have to keep a positive mindset, because I just wanted to point that out, because we got our eye on you, Jennifer McClain. This is me.
Yeah. Well, I've converted my second bedroom into my live studio audience now. Well, sans audience, but...
You just have a machine with clapping. Right?
No, I don't, but I need to get that effect. I need to work on that.
I have been here for 12 years, and I have been wanting an applause effect for 12 fucking years. Sam, how do we get an applause effect?
I can do that for you. I have an applause. I can do that for you.
I'm sure, but you know, if you do something for me, then what do I have to do for you, Ronnie Larson?
You know what you have to do.
Please, my license plate is Lockjaw. You already know that. But Ronnie Larson, when are we going to go to lunch? And we're going to have to bring Jennifer McClain, and we'll sit at 3 different tables.
we'll sit far apart. We have to get Jennifer. It's really important that we get her one of those McNugget sauce holders. We have to do that. That's very important.
One thing, Ronnie, you know about me is that I am a total man of my word.
You are.
Jennifer McClain, you will have one of those holders. But listen, we got to wrap this show up. Speaking of wrapping it up, wrap it up, people. Have fun. You know, I know that we're in the middle of a pandemic, but it doesn't mean there's a power to the theater. There's a power to touch. Just be smart. Do what's right for you. But like, let's keep human contact going and just like love people more than ever. What do you guys want people to bring with them into this week, Ronnie Larson? What do you want people to take with them into this week?
You know, yes, don't sit home and just stare. There's a lot of things you can do without just, I think this message of just stay home is a little misguided. There's a lot of things you can do that are very safe. You can go for a drive. You can go for a walk. There's a lot. Don't just stay home and watch TV.
You can go to the theater on Fridays and Saturdays in Wilton Manors and go see This Is Me, Jennifer McClain. What do you want people to take with them into this week?
A mask. No, we've all been cooped up, and you have to do what your comfort level allows you to do. But at the same time, we can't live in abject fear.
Yeah. You know, we said this about 5 weeks ago. Well, no, God, we said this like, I think in March, our love of life has to be greater than our fear of death.
Yeah.
And we have to continue to love life. Sam, can we get the song Bring On The Men ready? What, Jennifer?
I said, but be smart about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I'm always saying like, we're now in risk management. You know, it's like we go into the car, we put on our seatbelt. We take the risk of driving a car, but we also take, you know, the common sense to wear a seatbelt. So just risk management and do, you know, just be respectful. Be respectful. Well, Bring On The Men is in the show that Jennifer McClain is in right now. This Is Me. And for more information, go to ronnielarson.com. What I want you all to take within this week with you, before I get there, congratulations to my best friend in the whole wide world. I love you so much, Eva LaRue. We're talking about theater tonight. You won your Emmy. Congratulations. And tune in tomorrow to The Polished Woman at 1 o'clock here on LA Talk Radio, because we're going to talk about raising how these shitty teenagers like just stay on their phone and don't do a thing and don't know how to like even turn on the washing machine. So we're going to get a really great motivational teenage motivational coach tomorrow on The Polished Woman. You know, I produce that show. So tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock on LA Talk Radio, because you're going to learn a few things to get your kids to put down their phone and become a productive member, not only of the house, but of society. All right. So I want you to take with you into this week. Source of creativity. We are all born unique and amazing, curious and fearless. Remember the feeling. Remember that feeling of being amazing. Remember that feeling about being unique, curious, and fearless. Just sit into your present self. Take a deep breath and trust yourself. Listen to your inner voice. If you can't hear it, then work on that this week. Work on listening to yourself and loving yourself. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends here. Thank you so much, Jennifer McLean and Ronnie Larson.
Thank you.
Ronnie, I'm going to call you after the show. And Jennifer, we're going to make a plan to get you that that little McDonald's.
The McNuggets sauce. Car holder thing? Wait, yes, I'll definitely do that.
Do you like barbecue or something sour?
I need that.
Barbecue.
Okay, cool. Good to know. We're going to bring on the men here on Max and Friends right now. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I love you all for tuning in. Hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at Max Tucci. Thank you, Sam, for running the show tonight. I appreciate you. I miss you guys in LA, but I know that right now where we all are is exactly where we're supposed to be. And that's tuning into Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Good night and good karma. Until next time, take life to the max. Sam, bring on the
Bye.
Men.
We got one more song. I have a song for you. The chamomile's gonna be nice and cold. There was a time, I don't know when, I didn't have much time for men. Oh, but this is now, that was then. I'm learning. A girl alone, out on her own, must try to have a heart of stone. So I try not to make it known, my yearning. I try to show I have no need. I really do, I do. I don't succeed. Why wait another minute? Step this way, it's time for us to play. They say we may not pass this way again, so let's waste no more time, bring on the men. It's often told, it's often said, that silk and lace in black or red can drive a man right off his head. It's easy. So many men, so little time. I want them all. Is that a crime? I know. I don't know why they say that I'm too easy. They make me laugh. They make me cry. They make me sick. So God. They'll break your heart, they'll steal your soul, take you apart, and yet they somehow make you whole. So what's the game? I suppose a rose by any other name. The perfume and the prick's the same.
Max and Friends, he says what